time is yours.
Okay, thank you. Good morning.
Okay. Before I start sharing, I really want to thank this church because you guys have been supporting us for the last probably 15 years. And I remember Pastor Dave coming to our house. We were actually in a basement of somebody else's house preparing to go. And even when we were in language school, we were being supported by this church. We lived in San Jose, Costa Rica, then to Colombia, and now to Brazil. So I want to thank you for that very much. Also want to thank you for supporting Jason. Could you just stand up? Just turn around.
It's like Simon says. You can sit down now. Jason went to Camp Idahaji, and you guys supported him and helped him to go. He had a great time. He learned a lot more about the Lord.
It was the first time for him to go to a camp or to be up in the mountains like that. So another thank you to the church, every one of you who contributed. We really appreciate it. So we want you to know that, okay? Let's just pray. Father, just thank you for this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share. Thank you, Lord, for this church that not just blesses me, but many other missionaries, so that they can do the work that you have called us to do. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word this morning, that it would go forth in power. I pray, Lord, what I share here, Lord, will be clear and that people will be able to understand the ministry that we're involved in. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing and for your wonderful provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before I actually start sharing, Pastor Dave did the Bible study this morning, the Sunday school class. It was a blessing to me. And one particular verse, that he's talking about prophecy, and he says the purpose of prophecy, not just to know what's going to happen in the future, but it's supposed to affect your life now. And one that really blessed me, a verse that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And there are times, you know, when you're doing missionary work and you're doing God's work, it's not always fun. There are times that it can be pretty difficult. But this verse really, because it's a verse that I've liked, but I haven't really gone over and haven't looked at it within the context that Pastor Dave talks about it, that, you know, be encouraged. You know, the work that you're doing is not in vain. Be steadfast and be unmovable. That encourages me so much as I continue to do his work. Today we're going to be looking in the book of Luke, chapter 4. And, let me see, 1 second. Yeah, Luke chapter 4, reading from verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened up the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
They were totally amazed because here we have Jesus, who grew up in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. And as was his custom, to go to the synagogue. So he goes in and he gets the scrolls and he starts to read this particular scripture. But actually, as he read this, and he says, today this is fulfilling your hearing, what they came to understand, what he was saying, is that he's the Son of God. He's the one that the Jews have been waiting for years upon years upon years. If you continue reading in this section, you would see that they got very angry, and they actually wanted to kill him. They know him as the carpenter's son, as Jesus and his father Joseph. And here he is, someone that they know all their life, saying that he is the Son of God. And this really bothered them. This really affected them. But Jesus was now starting his early ministry. If we read earlier in chapter 3, we see that he is baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he is the one who comes. You know, like when you have a concert and you have a band that comes in before, but it's not the real band because they're preparing for the real one. Well, this is the same idea where John comes in and he is talking about the one to come. They actually thought he was the Messiah, because the way that he was sharing, the authority that he was talking with, they thought that he was actually the Messiah. And he says, no, I'm not. I'm not worthy in any way. I'm only preparing the way for the one who is going to come. And so he was preparing the way for Jesus. Right after him being baptized, he was baptized actually by John the Baptist. The Bible talks about him going into the wilderness for 40 days. You guys know he was tempted of the devil. But Jesus spoke the word, and he stayed true. He went in, he was led of the Holy Spirit, and he left in the power of the Holy Spirit. So all this stuff here is preparing Jesus to go and start his earthly ministry, because he was now starting. I believe that the reason why Jesus Christ came, the purpose stated right there, what I just read from Luke, from the Word of God, what it says is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus Christ came to share the good news. This is the Messiah that they have been waiting for a long period of time. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is going to preach the word of the kingdom. But as he comes and he does that, he also does it in power and in great authority. And we see that he demonstrates it. What I highlight there, of one of the things that he wanted to do, is to set the oppressed free. We work with children at risk, and we've been working with children at risk now for more than 14, 15 years. And specifically in Brazil, we have been working with children who are abused or vulnerable, especially to sexual abuse. And Jesus, what he came to do, he came to what? Set the oppressed free. During the time of Jesus, it was a very difficult time for the Jews, because they were under the Roman Empire and they were being occupied at that time. A lot of the people, over 90% of the Jews, were very poor. Only few people were really rich, like the priests and the other Jews like that. But these were very simple people. A lot of their money went to paying for the land, paying different taxes. It was a very, very difficult time. But we see that under all these conditions under which Jesus Christ came, he came to share the gospel to the poor, to everyone who didn't know about the kingdom. The whole idea of the kingdom is to give us a little sample. The Bible talks about the kingdom being near and being far. I believe that when Jesus Christ comes again, that the kingdom will be fully instituted. But for right now, when he came, he was just giving a glimpse. He was just giving people a chance to taste and see what the kingdom would be like. And as he started to do many miracles and to do many things that was very different from other people who came from in the past. The Bible talks about Jesus being different from the scribes and the Pharisees. Why? Because he spoke with one as one having authority. But he didn't just have authority. His life backed up everything that he did. Everything that he said was totally backed up.
Now, John the Baptist,
although he came preparing the way for Jesus to come, he reached a point in his life where he started to question Jesus. It says there when the men came to Jesus, they said, talking about the disciples, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? So here John the Baptist spends his life, he's preparing the way for the one to come. But at a certain point in time, it seems like he becomes doubtful about this Jesus that he's been talking about and preparing the way. Is he really the one? Some people believe that maybe it's because that when the Messiah was expected to come, that he would come and he would take over with force and that everything was going to change right away. And here, John is at the point where he's going to have his head cut off pretty soon. He's in prison. And he's starting to wonder, this man doesn't seem to be doing all this stuff that we thought he was going to do. Maybe that's what he was thinking. And he started to have some questions. But here's the answer Jesus gives him. Now, before I told you what Jesus' mission statement, here's what Jesus says. He says, and at that very time, Jesus cured many who were diseased, sickness, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, talking about the disciples of John, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. So exactly what he read in those scrolls, that's exactly what he was doing. He was sharing the good news, and being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he was demonstrating his power by healing and transforming lives of people. So he was doing exactly what he said he came to do.
In Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy.
So there are many good things here have been said about Jesus, but he's the head of the church.
We are the body. If Jesus is the head, we ought to be thinking like him.
We ought to operate in his power. Therefore, as we seek to reach out to those who are lost, Jesus loves those who are in need, those who are lost, those who other people don't really care about. We are his hands, we're his feet. And as he is the head and we are his body, we are the ones who are the contact, the conduit through which others would receive his love, through which others would know about the kingdom of God. We have to preach this word to everyone, those who are near and those who are far, those who are lost. As the pastor said, we are part of United World Mission, and this mission We used to be part of Latin America Mission, but it merged with United World Mission about 2 years ago, the 1st of January 2014.
And the mission statement is, see God change lives and transform communities everywhere by partnering to equip leaders, establish churches, and engage in holistic mission. So the first point here I just want to show here is that this mission is about equipping leaders, because all over the world there's a lack of leadership.
And in Brazil, there are many people who come to know Christ, but they're not well discipled. So they don't really grow in the knowledge of Christ.
So equipping leaders is very important. To establish churches, we believe the church is very important. And the church is God's idea.
And through the church, God could really fulfill what he came to do. It's communities that God has brought together.
So establishing churches, working with local church planters is important. And the third part is engage in holistic mission,
which is a part that we are very much involved in. We believe that we must preach the word of God. It's very important. But we believe it's also very important to demonstrate it, so that we don't just preach, like share with someone, be warm and be well fed, but then we don't show them our love by demonstrating it. The Bible says
in John, saying, if you do that, how does the love of God really dwell in you? Because you're not really showing God's love.
So we believe that, of course, they both are important. They cannot be separated. As we love and we care and we share Christ with people, that naturally we are going to care for them
the way God wants us to care for him, for them.
We're a part of a network of different ministries, of different churches. And it's called REINAS. It's an acronym in Portuguese. And it's a nationwide evangelical network that focuses on serving the poor and disenfranchised of Brazilian society. In Brazil, there's lots of people that are poor. About 70% of the people live on minimum wage or less. That minimum wage is not enough. And sad to say, there are many churches there that are all throughout Brazil. Many times the word of God is being preached, but it's not really being demonstrated. The main purpose of this network is to say the two are together. There is no dichotomy. As we're sharing God's word in a country where there is so much need, we also ought to be demonstrating to these people God's love. Here's some few statistics in relation to Brazil. Yep, the overall population is about 200 million. And 27, 28 million are children, many of them that are poor.
A lot of them are very much vulnerable to abuse of every kind, especially sexual abuse.
250,000 children are sexually exploited in Brazil.
And these are very conservative numbers, but it's extremely high.
90% of children and adolescents are violated by people that they know. So it's extremely sad what's going on. But we believe that God could transform that and change those statistics. So what we have been involved in,
as some of you may know from our newsletters, have been these big mega events, sporting events. Just last year, Brazil had the World Cup, and next year it's going to have the Olympics.
And what we have been doing, our goal, have been to mobilize the church to be a safe place for millions of vulnerable children. We believe that the church is a sleeping giant that must be awakened to break the silence of sexual violence and be a strong advocate for children.
See, many times a lot of this stuff happens and the church is very quiet. They don't say anything about it. And we believe that the church is supposed to be the light. Where the church is, people ought to be able to learn more about who God is, to know the truth. The church is not perfect. Look at us.
We are sinful, but we have been saved by grace. We will sin, but God forgives us.
And
The church needs to be that light. So what we have been doing over the many years, this movement that we have been working on in relation to protecting children from sexual violence, started over 4 years ago. And we just used the big events here as an excuse to work on problems that exist within Brazil as far as sexual abuse is concerned. And that has been our strategy and has worked very well because it allowed us to get into many churches and to share what's going on. So there are three areas that we tend to focus on as we seek to protect children from sexual violence. The first part is raising awareness. And that's in the society, but not just in the society, but also in the church. There are many churches we go to, and pastors would say, oh, you already need to come here, or we don't have a problem here in that area. But as we start to share with people, there are many people who come after the service, and they would say, wow, I wish you came here a long time ago. I've gone through a lot of this abuse, but no one has really spoken to me or dealt with it, or I've spoken in the church, but it's kind of shoved under the carpet. In Brazil, it's a huge problem, especially in the northeast areas and in the north part, which is very, very poor. There's lots of abuse that takes place. So that's why our focus has been not just on the society at large, but within the church to speak truth on this matter.
Other aspect is prevention.
For the Olympic, for the World Cup, we worked in 12 cities because in 12 cities is where the games were being played. One of the cities is called Fortaleza. And in that particular city, it has the highest index of children being abused by tourists. Not just foreign tourists, but also local tourists. So we've gotten many churches and many ministries there together, and we're in the process of starting a particular intervention ministry in order to help boys and girls who are being abused.
So that has been a very important part of what we are doing.
And also we have been strengthening institutions that need help. So we've come alongside and we're working with them. Many ministries within the network is able to help churches deal with this particular topic.
And the third thing we have been doing is empowerment,
which means is that we work with children and we work with adolescents and we help them to understand that their bodies are the temple of God, that their bodies was created by God, and that they're not to be abused.
So we deal with this through songs, through stories.
It's not done in a direct type of way, but kids learn about protecting themselves through these songs, because many of them do not know that they are being abused
or being exploited. So these were some of the results. I'll just highlight three. 214 churches were reached.
And that's a lot of churches throughout the 12 cities that we're working in. This was one of our main goals, just to get many churches involved. And there were many other churches that were reached. This is just what we know
for a fact. Another important aspect, over 1,200
young people were spoken to and explained about how God wants their bodies to be a temple of God, that their bodies are not supposed to be violated. And many children learned about that and make a big difference in their lives, and they've been able to share with other children
about that. And about 40,000
tourists, both foreign and local, were actually reached directly and explained to about sexual violence.
Here are just some of the contexts where sexual violence occurs. I've already spoken about the mega sporting events like the Olympics and the World Cup. They have many large construction projects, for example, the building of a stadium as they try to prepare for the World Cup or other stadiums right now for the Olympics, or a hydroelectric dam somewhere out in the jungle. Many times the concern is about the environment and the impact the environment would be, how it would be affected by this construction. But many times you have these men, 400, 500 men working on these projects, and they're way out there, maybe in the jungle. They're away from their families for months upon months. And on the weekends or at night times, they want something to do. But there's nothing to do. They don't have no basketball. basketball. They have no soccer. They don't have other things for them to do. So before long, there are many rum shops that take place. They have a place with rum shops there. They have prostitutes coming in, and then they have many children being brought in. And many times, there's lots of abuse that takes place over the span of those projects. But there are churches in those areas that are saying now, that's wrong. But before, those churches would be there and would be like, just quiet. Don't get involved. They're preaching the word, but kids are being abused right under their nose. By us being able to work with these churches and say, look, you can't just let that happen. You need to say something. Christ would say something. It's not right. A lot of things have changed. Ecotourism, where people are coming in for ecological purposes to see the environment. On many of these boats, kids go there and not boats. Abuse takes place also. Carnival, which is like the Mardi Gras that takes place in New Orleans. All these different places, abuse takes place. In schools. Sometimes in churches. Sometimes at home. These are all things that we deal with that is not pleasant, but we believe that it's very important to talk to people about, to talk to the church about, and allow the church to go out and be able to minister to those that are around. Now, some of the negative effects of abuse. I just want to read this here because I think it's important. Children that survive sexual exploitation usually suffer trauma, which may be physical, mental, and emotional. The negative impact of trauma impacts the child in a variety of ways. It may lead to physical risks, which include like poor health, unwanted pregnancy for girls, and greater likelihood of HIV infection. Psychological trauma also contributes to problematic behavior and trust issues. The majority of child survivors have substance abuse problems, and they turn to drugs and alcohol in order to cope with their pain. Many would have suicidal thoughts and tendencies throughout the course of their lives because they feel unloved, ashamed, and worthless. There are many people who are still having the scars of being abused in one way or the other, just from being a child. Some abused as adults, but think of a child going through this for a long period of time. There are people who act certain ways and you don't understand why or where all these different things are coming from. They may not share with you. Just recently we went to a church and a woman came back and spoke to my wife and said, was abused. She's like 65 years old, but she says when she was a kid, she knows what we are talking about. She's still dealing with this issue today, and many others are. This is not of God, but we know that this is what Jesus Christ came to set the oppressed free, and that all these things here that we are seeing, as people come to know Christ and as we live the way we ought to live, things could be resolved. And we've seen that happen and see God work in these ways. So some of the outcomes we want that would come about from things that we're working with. Child protection policies. Maybe in the U.S. you know about that. But in Brazil, child protection policies, they don't know what the first thing of what that is about. So without having policies, you could imagine the amount of kids that get abused in so many different locations. Detection of sexual violence is so important. We teach Sunday school teachers, we teach teachers in schools and stuff like that to detect a child who is being abused. Many times they act in certain ways, they do certain things that would give you a clue that maybe something is going on. And many times that person who is able to detect this is able to save the life of this child from further harm. So that's an important thing that we do. Educate children on their rights, already spoke about that. Provide resources for churches. So there's a website in Portuguese, of course, because it's for Brazil. But many Christian churches and organizations go there. We have videos, we have booklets, we have different things that explain about this problem and how to deal with it, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a school, whether it's in any other type of institution. So we provide many different resources. We encourage people to report sexual violations. Many times, kids are abused, and no one reports it. and the kid continues to be abused. It may seem obvious to you that it should be reported, but many times there people don't do anything. And we're trying to encourage people to protect the kids that way. We have pilot and intervention programs, and we encourage people to be child advocates. So our encouragement to you, as we encourage you to join our team, to be an advocate for a child or for children, and maybe you already are, but it's very important because these kids need you to speak on their behalf. Pray for justice and healing. Pray for us, because we can't do what we're doing out there without your prayers. A lot of this stuff is very demonic and definitely not of God. And we need prayers so that God could break these things and that these kids could be free and they could be healed. Pray for us for our financial support. We have to raise about $1,000 more, and we're trusting God to provide that. So when you think of us, keep that in your prayers. Lastly, just want to look at this. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, it says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and feel and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Another translation, it says, "You should defend those who cannot help themselves. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." Just this very week, my wife was, she works at a particular school, and she saw some things going on that a lot of people didn't know what was going on. And it doesn't happen in every part of the school, but it was happening in this part of the school. And it's nothing to do with sexual violence. It was more like verbal and physical abuse. And she thought, you know, Ron, I have to do something. I have to say something about this. And these kids are only three. The parents drop them off, but then by the time the parents are gone, everything changes. Not many people are around, but she said, you know what, I had to do something. And she went. She was scared, but she knew what she was doing was right. She didn't care if she lost her job or not. She had to say something and do something. It's right here in the United States, in a Christian school, which could happen. It could happen anywhere. But she chose to say something and do something about the situation and not allow these kids, because these kids cannot go and explain to the teacher who's doing this or to the administration or to their parents what's going on. But she saw it, and she said, you know what, I'm going to say something. It was very difficult. And they're starting to make some changes, but I thank God that she did that. She's being an advocate. She was speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. She's being a light in this in this particular area where there is darkness. So I just want to thank you again for what of this church and what you're doing for us. We have, I guess, 5 more minutes. You have any questions?
Yeah.
In Brazil, we have a team, and we have people in different cities. And in these cities, the teams are mobilized, and yes, they go to churches. But they're not just going to churches, they're also going to other Christian institutions, because many times in those institutions, too, they need help with having policies and different things. They also network, we network with the government, and we work along with them. They're very glad that the church is involved. Many times the church is not really involved in these type of issues, and we're letting them know, no, we are involved. And we're able sometimes to even get some funding or some help and to work along with them in dealing with this problem. I don't have any particular, like, it's usually not necessarily financially, but they may provide, like, a building or something, or they may provide material, or they may help us more in tangible ways, not so much from a financial point of view, but it costs. But it's that's their form of support. Yeah, but go ahead. No, well, right now we are in the U.S. for a year. We have been here for 6 months. So we don't have enough support for our kids to go to school and for different things. So she works at this school in order for us to have money to pay for that and for other things. While her being there, she observed these things. So sorry, I didn't make that clear. So that's why it was in the U.S. during the short time that we're here. She saw this and she decided to report it. Yeah, Brazil. Brazil doesn't lack laws. All the laws are excellent. Actually, they're an example to many other countries in the laws that have been formed. The implementation of it has been extremely bad. For example, as far as, let's say, one aspect, child sex tourism, not one tourist has ever been convicted of abusing children, coming from another country and abusing children. And they're plane loads from Europe that goes to this place called Fortaleza, chartered planes. Many times it could be Italians or Portuguese or whatever. They have their beach houses for 2 weeks. They would come, stay there, and kids are coming in and out. They leave, and they go back out. These are the things the church is saying, trying to hold the government accountable and saying, this is not right. This should not happen. So the laws are there. There's no lack of laws. But to implement them, that's where the problem is. It's not being implemented. So we're trying to make sure to keep the government accountable in this and in other areas of abuse. Okay, one more question, then I'll have to turn over to Pastor Dave.
No, that's a good question.
We are missionaries with United World Mission, and we work with this local organization I had on the slide called RAINUS, which is a national network. So we as missionaries are lent to this local Brazilian network of churches and ministries. United World Mission, that is working there. But we're working with a team of other Brazilians there in Brazil itself. Okay? Thank you so much, Pastor.